Hello, and welcome to another episode of Waves of Change, a Great Lakes Now digital series highlighting the diverse faces, voices, and perspectives shaping the environmental justice movement all throughout the Great Lakes. I'm your host, Anna Seisling, and I'm really grateful to you for tuning in.
Waves of Change is brought to you by the Fred A. and Barbara M. Erb Family Foundation, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, Richard C. Devereaux Foundation for Energy and Environmental Programs at DPTV, Polk Family Fund, DTE Energy Foundation, and listeners like you. Thank you.
Joining me today is Brenda Coley, co-executive director of the Milwaukee Water Commons. Over the years, Brenda has served in various positions in the nonprofit and academic sectors and brings a long-standing commitment to social justice and community organizing. Brenda, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
All right, so I want to start with a question that I've been asking all the folks that I talk with for this series, Brenda. That question is, in this moment, what does environmental justice mean to you?
Well, I think for me, environmental justice, you've probably heard this term, is intersectional. One injustice can compound another. And I want to say that it's not a code word for people of color or indigenous folks. Really, any group of people can experience environmental justice, although the term was invented by African-American was working on, incinerator pollution.
So I'm wondering if you can talk about what first got you motivated to become involved in environmental justice work and when that was.
Well, it's an interesting thing, and I learned about environmental justice by taking on this position at Milwaukee Water Commons. I didn't come here. I was not, you know, an environmentalist. I had done what I thought was best, you know, try to not use plastic containers, single use. And I came here really to run their water school program. But I didn't know anything about the environment. And that's the thing. You can learn these things. You know, I now have a passion for it. I couldn't work here if I didn't. But I developed and grew that from the people that were around me and some of the readings that I did. What was significant, or I think interesting, was that the environmental movement needed and wanted social justice advocates. And that's really where I came in. So I had that experience and that skill around organizing, seeing justice in a bigger picture. So I fit right into to what was needed in the environmental sector at the time and still needed.
I really appreciate you bringing that up. And that sort of beautifully leads to my next question for you, Brenda, which is, what is your lineage in this work? In other words, I guess I'm asking, who and what have been formative teachers and mentors for you as you've been doing this work?
Well, I have to say, Anna, it's really quite different than that, my experience for me, because I think of my age and my experiences coming into the movement. I was not a young activist. You know, I'm really at the end of my career and not the beginning. And so I brought with me those skills and experience and really ended up mentoring other folks around these issues and what it could mean for our community. So I came not getting mentored, but, you know, I'm almost 70 years old. But I did come here to really interact with folks, to listen to what they had to say, be a very good listener, and really see how we can apply those, their skills and thinking to the movement.
I want to ask you a little bit more about how you have found ways to sort of merge and weave your social justice background into this work. I know that the overlap is so significant, and I'm excited to hear more about that in a little bit. I do want to ask you first, though, if you can tell me about what kinds of issues does Milwaukee Water Commons work on? I'm imagining a lot of them are water issues, but can you tell me a little bit about some of the specific issues and efforts that you all have?
They're all water issues, although people may not make that connection right away hearing about it. So Milwaukee Water Commons has a 6-point initiative called our Water City Policy. And there are 6 initiatives on that agenda, which is drinking water, water quality, arts and culture, education and recreation, blue-green jobs, and there may be another one that I've missed. And all of those initiatives come with it. What we've tried to do is have programming that addresses each of those issues. at Milwaukee Water Commons. So for example, you wouldn't necessarily think that water quality is regarding trees, but trees are a significant portion of water quality. It really reduces flooding in the city, and its mental health and public health benefits, reduction of asthma if there are trees that are present, if we have a robust tree canopy. And that's one of the things around environmental justice, if you would look at it, you can tell, and I think we're all making efforts to change this, but we had to become aware this becomes an environmental justice issue if some communities have more trees than others. And so we have a project called Branch Out, and we're working with planting around 250 trees in Sherman Park area. Now, what's significant or different from this, or really kind of revolutionary, is that we have set up a tree board of community residents to really be tree ambassadors around this issue, and also to help to guide us on where to plant trees and what's needed. The significant things that we're doing work on private property, because that's where the issue is. We have to put trees in people's private property. Well, when you look in poor communities and Black communities, those communities, most people don't own their own homes. So there's another layer that we have to deal with, and that's with landlords and working with them as well. We can't ask someone to take a new tree in if the other tree is growing out of the garage. So that was one of the things that we really insisted upon, that we would have maintenance as a part of this.
I really appreciate hearing about this effort around rebuilding the tree canopy in Milwaukee. I also want to ask you, though, about the Milwaukee River Estuary, which is an mm-hmm. area of concern. Mm-hmm. I wonder, mm-hmm. Brenda, what has Milwaukee Water Commons involvement been in working on restoration and remediation of that area?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know, of course, we're around really connecting the community back to the water. So we're not involved so much with the actual restoration, the dredging of the river that's going to go on. But what we're part of is a water restoration partnership with includes MMSD, DNR, and other community-based organizations to make sure that we do this as right as we can get it. So we're talking about cleaning up this water to be done effectively and to answer a couple of questions. Equity. You know, are the benefits of this restoration helping all Milwaukee community or just, you know, the South Shore, right? So we want to make sure that, you know, that Lincoln Park is getting these kinds of benefits. We want to make sure that there's diversity, that people have access to the water. And then we want to make sure that there's community awareness. And that's the biggest thing, is that that the community knows what's going on with the river.
And I want to go back and talk a little bit about Milwaukee as a whole. So Milwaukee, it is one of the most segregated cities in the country. I wonder in what ways you've noticed this affecting the work that you're doing.
I think it's the water we swim in. And so we don't necessarily know we're swimming in this kind of water. But what we're really trying to do is engage people back to the water that have been disengaged through no fault of their own. And so when you go to waterways, that's what I'm saying, people should, they see this, but they don't see it. When you go to recreational spots throughout the state of Wisconsin, you know, in some of our waterways, really you see a monoculture. You see mostly white people. So people of color, indigenous folks, Black folks don't necessarily feel welcome in those spaces. So we're working really to connect them. And we're not the only ones. There's other groups, Nearby Nature, that are doing things to really reconnect people back to what is really belongs to all of us and none of us. So that's our biggest work around that we do, is to be sure that people are connected back to it. So that means that we have a water school. And with water school, it's really our leadership development program. So we meet on day long, 4 Saturdays out of the year. We give folks $5,000 pass-through funds that come from funds for Lake Michigan, which helps folks do a project related to water. You know, and we're looking at our 6-point agenda initiatives. And we also, you know, tell them and engage them around the issues of water in our region and in our city. And we try to present opportunities for folks to become leaders if they choose. And that's one of the things that we have done in terms of the Great Lakes restoration effort, in terms of the AOC area of concern, is getting community folks on those committees and on those boards. And I would say a significant portion of the community part of the AOC has been populated by past alumni of Water School.
Can you talk to me about the open water swim in the Milwaukee River? Tell me about when that was. What was the goal there?
I'm terrible with dates, Anna. But this happened, you know, this was before COVID, because since COVID, we have not been able to have this program. But we decided that what we wanted to do is to really, two things, is to bring attention to the work that's already been done in Milwaukee River around water quality. We wanted people to know that the efforts are being made. We also wanted to have it where all people felt that they belong there. And that meant really recruiting people of color to make sure that they know that they belonged in that river and that we have public access. Because that's one of the issues, is that having public access to the river that looks like there's public access, because you can have it look like it can be public and look private. So we were trying to sort of bring some clarity to that situation. So we had a 1.5 mile swim up the Milwaukee River. We have it at the point of the confluence, which is the cleanest part of the river. It's when all the other rivers dump into Lake Michigan. So that confluence is always running. It's always cleaning itself. So we chose that. We were in partnership with MMSD to make sure that the water was safe to go in, because if there's rain, then there could be contamination. So we don't say that you can swim in Milwaukee River anytime you want to, but there are times when you can, and that's being expanded more and more. So we had probably about, I think, 50 or 60 people that participated in them, and we've had two of them. It's a great day. Everyone in the area comes out to see it. These are not professional swimmers. And we do also a small clinic on open water swimming so that we can be sure to give people the skills to go in there. But we are highly safety first. We have showers right there on the premises so that people can shower right away when they come out of that water, because we want people to be and stay safe. So it was a wonderful project that we will pick up again after the river has been cleaned.
Brenda, when we first spoke, you told me how you really try to bring your whole self to this work. And I was really struck by that. I wonder, can you talk to me about what that means and looks like for you?
That's very interesting. You know, I'm a member of the LGBT community. I'm also a Black woman. I'm also Black, and going on the elderly side of things as well. And so bringing all of that to play, really, I don't see any differences in it. I don't know any other way to live. I'm 100% identify as bisexual. I'm 100% bisexual. I'm 100% Black. I'm 100% a woman. And I try to bring all that to what I do. Because when you compartmentalize your life, you know, I don't think that you are doing well in any compartment you might be in. So I try to put myself not at the first, but at the center of what I'm doing. And so I'm open about who I am, and I have expectations that everyone else bring their whole self to work as well. That doesn't mean we don't control or manage our emotions and things of that nature, but people know who I am and what I represent.
You know, when it comes to Milwaukee Water Commons, talk about what your water and climate priorities are for this new year, for 2024.
Well, I mean, I think that in the beginning, when I came here working with water, climate wasn't a big issue. It quickly changed, though. And so we're talking about climate resilience a lot. We know that because of climate change, people will be coming from the East Coast and the West Coast into the interior. And we want to be sure that with that happening, that the people who are already here, poor folks, working class people, you know, really middle class people, aren't left out, and that they are able to enjoy whatever the impacts of climate, electric cars, these kinds of things, that they have a stake in that as well. So we want to be sure that people who are innocent in environmental justice aren't left out when we start moving into this new kind of economy. So that's one of the things that we're interested in. You know, more and more education around water, you know, is a good thing. I think when I first came into the movement, water wasn't the subject it is today. It is on everybody's mind. We look at it as, you know, I've heard Native folks call it liquid gold. And so we have to be cognizant of that and make sure that people have clean drinking water. That's a big issue, is that we can't talk about environmental justice if people don't have clean drinking water. So we're looking at other contaminants of groundwater and surface water. PFAS is one of those. So these are the things that we're monitoring and taking back to the community so they know that these things are happening.
I appreciate that. And I think, too, if I'm not mistaken, there's actually, I think, nothing about equity or diversity in the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative in this moment. Is that also something that you all are kind of thinking about and working on?
Yes, through our relationship with Healing Our Waters, which is a regional water organization for the Great Lakes, we're having some impact on the GLRI. We're asking for equity and diversity measurements to be put in this next, and we're right in the middle of reforming, rewriting the GLRI. So I think back in the day, that wasn't as big a concern as it is right now. I think we're trying to go back and correct that.
I also, too, kind of want to pivot a little bit and ask you about this really unique and I think really cool feature of the Milwaukee Water Commons, and that is the Artist in Residence program.
Well, it's kind of funny. From the very beginning, when before Milwaukee Water Commons was a nonprofit, we had attached ourselves to a water artist here in Milwaukee called Melanie, whose name Melanie Arians. And so we've had an artist in residence as part of our structure since the very beginning. So that was probably, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, right? When we first started. Now, this year is our inaugural year where we're looking, where we have artists in residence. And really the goal of that program is that we have water school. And I talked about the fact that we give each group, we have five community-based organizations with teams of five to come in and engage around water on those day-long programs. Part of that is that we have art as part of their experience in water school. So they make water shrines, they look at the Great Lakes and that kind of thing. And we assign an artist to each group. And the artist helps that group formulate a visual project that represents what they're going to do. And so we want to make sure, though, that these artists are diverse. And that we have community artists doing this work. So we now have an artist in residence program. We have five artists who are working to produce art. We're teaching them about water. This is the thing. We're integrating them into some of the issues and subjects and around environmental justice and water issues in the Great Lakes region and in Milwaukee in particular. So they're getting that education from us. And then they will make, we're hoping that they will integrate water issues into their work.
Okay. So I want to ask you now to kind of go back to what we were talking about this notion of just sort of all of the different ways that social justice, environmental justice, you know, water justice, energy justice, all these things are connected. Are you seeing in general, given your time and now experience in this space, are you seeing more intersectionality as time goes on? And I wonder where there are still gaps in your view.
Well, that's a very good question, Anna, but it's very complicated. I mean, at the same time that environmentalism is intersectional, you know, each program or each community-based organization has to figure out what their lane is. So, you know, although I'm interested in transportation, that may not be my lane, but for instance, this is intersectionality. We're planting trees in Sherman Park, right? But we also have a problem in the city of reckless driving. And community is very, very concerned about that dangerous situation. So when we had our tree planting, where we had our trees blessed, we also invited the folks from the committee in the neighborhood around reckless driving to come and be a part of it as well. So that's sort of intersectionality. We're talking about the issue that the community says is necessary. We know we're trying to engage and to convince folks that trees are necessary as well. So we combined those two events and it worked out really well. It really was. So that's the intersectionality of it. It's not just our agenda, that we have to listen closely to the community, because really that's where the innovation is around all of these water issues. It's at the community level. So we're trying to listen more closely so that we can bring that thinking really in front of decision makers and policy makers when it comes to water. So that's the thing. We're trying to be a bridge where we bring, you know, for the community to cross and get in front of these decision makers around the issue of their own water, our water.
Okay. I wonder, in sort of doing this community outreach and trying to be that kind of intermediary between people who are making policy and the people who are going to be impacted by the policy that's made, what is giving you hope and keeping you going in doing this work and in trying to be that sort of that in-between force, I guess, for the community and for the people who are, you know, enacting the laws and the rules and the policies?
You know, a couple of years ago when we first moved to this community, there's a nursing home called St. Anne's, and it's about 5 or 6 work blocks from our office building. And so we went there and decided, okay, what we'll do is we'll first have a community meeting around climate change and water. And what was really very significant is that everyone in that room that we recruited to come, people were interested. They wanted to know, but they already had enough information to guide our conversation. So they knew exactly what the issues were around climate. They knew what it was. They knew about the pushback. And that was very heartening to me, that we're not starting at scratch here as we often think we are. We're not starting at the lowest level. And so really, my hope comes from my relationships with people, our relationship with our neighbors, my relationship with the team here at Milwaukee Water Commons. That's where my hope comes from, our individual interactions.
I wonder, you've already mentioned a few other organizations and obviously your colleagues at Milwaukee Water Commons, but are there any other organizations or folks that you would like to share and recommend that people can check out if they want to learn more about environmental issues and environmental the environmental justice movement in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. I would encourage people to check out Riverkeeper. They're really on top of water quality issues here in the city. I would check out Nearby Nature. It's really has a more recreational bent to their programming. So they're really interacting with Black community in Lincoln Park area around issues. They have they've done some fabulous cleanups of there's a hollow called Hopkins Hollow in there, and because of the cleanups that they've been doing, they've seen wildlife come back. And really engaging people with this piece of wildlife that's right in your neighborhood, that this is nothing to be afraid of. It's not dangerous. It's something for us to enjoy. So Nearby Nature is good at that. Clean Wisconsin is really, we partner with them around a lot of our GLRI initiatives and around clean drinking water and money coming down from the federal government. And so they're really our watchdog around what those issues are and what those concerns are. So these are some of the organizations that I would say we should be looking at.
Thank you. Brenda, you've already been so generous with your time, your knowledge, your expertise. I wonder, though, before we wrap up, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you want folks to know about you, about the work that you do, about environmental issues in Milwaukee, anything else?
I would say it is people and planet, you know, that you don't leave one out. And most of the same systems that oppress people are the same systems that are oppressing and abusing the planet. So I think we have to see that we're no different from that. For one thing, we have to learn to respect ecosystems. We have to really look at what is indigenous to our community, to our neighborhood when it comes to the plants that we grow. We've been sort of told this ornamental story, but it's not helping our environment, and that we all have a role to play. You know, what we can model, you know, if we don't use single-use plastic, those kinds of things. And we have to pay attention to issues around race. They're prevalent. They're more solvable than not. And that is a part of our environmental work either, too, is people and planet.
All right. Well, Brenda Coley, co-executive director of the Milwaukee Water Commons, I really appreciate you joining me for this episode of Waves of Change. Really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Waves of Change is a production of Great Lakes Now and Detroit Public Television. This digital series is produced and edited by me, Anna Seisling, with additional support from Jordan Wingrove. Great Lakes Now's executive producer is Rob Green, and Detroit Public Television's vice president of content is Ed Moore. Waves of Change is brought to you by the Fred A. and Barbara M. Erb Family Foundation, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, Richard C. Devereaux Foundation for Energy and Environmental Programs at DPTV, Polk Family Fund, DTE Energy Foundation, and listeners like you. Thank you.